to make. But we'll talk about the game on Thursday here over the next couple hours here and figure out what we want to do there. Yeah, it's possible.
Does Arian need to play in the preseason?
Arian's practice, you know, he practiced against Denver. He had some good practices against Denver. So, you know, I feel like he's had a productive week there. And I think regardless of what we do Thursday night, he'll be ready to play. Right, Brooks did some decent things. You know, there's some things we need to clean up, but he did some decent things. He looked like he was fresh and in good condition, and he played a decent game. Some plays, like all of us, he would want back, but a lot of positive plays out there. And then Cush, I thought, ran around, made a couple plays. It's good to have him back out there. He means a lot to our defense, and I thought he played well for the time that he was in there. Yeah, again, same thing. You know, really good to have him out there. I thought he played well, ran good routes. I know he enjoyed being back out there with the guys. Probably played a little bit more than we thought we were going to play him, just more probably because he wanted to play. You know, he wanted to play a little bit more. But it was good to have him back out there. Great player, really important part of our offense, and it'll be good to have him out there going forward. I thought he did some good things, Mark, in the game. He ran well. He ran with a good pad level. He did a nice job on fourth down. Did a good job on the some of the zone plays we were running. So I think he had a good football game.
On DJ, between the unsportsmanlike penalties last week and then the hit this week on Welker, are you confident that he can do his thing within the rules?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Impressed you most about Travis Labhart so far this preseason?
He's a young guy that's come in here and learned the system well. He's instinctive. He's got good hands. He's tough. A smart player. Works hard. Works really hard at it. Even last night, on that two-point play, we put him in a position where the original play call, we were going to have him in a different spot, and at the last second, we kind of changed him to where he ended up catching the pass, and he had to think quick there and get lined up and know what to do, and that's the type of kid he is. So he's earned himself a playing time, and it's been fun to watch him improve every week.
Is he still ahead of Tom Savage?
I would say it's pretty close, Dave. You know, I think it's pretty close. You know, we're discussing that right now. I think both guys had good moments last night, but I think that Tom Savage definitely closed the gap, and it's pretty close. I think any time you go out and win, no matter when you win, winning is important. And any time you step on the field to represent this organization and this city and each other, you know, it's important to go out there and win. So I think it gives everybody a good feeling, you know, when you fly back from Denver after a win, regardless of whether it's preseason, regular season or not. So I think it was a good night. It was a good way to end the game, and there's a lot of things we can improve on, but it's always good to think about those things when you come back with a win.
Last night on the two-point conversion, looked like there was a little bit of confusion, and the clock's running down. Tom's able to get everybody set, takes the snap, fires, wins the game. How much more did you find that impressive? Is his composure there?
Yeah, I think what happened was we broke the huddle. And as a young quarterback, when the referee leans into the huddle and he winds the clock, you got to get going. So he probably could have called the play before the referee wound the clock. So he ended up calling the play and then having to break the huddle, and it involved some motion and shifting and things like that. So you're right. It wasn't confusion as much as it was, hey, he had to get going. And I thought that he kept his poise there really well. He was able to motion, I believe it was Labhart, and then make the correct protection point, and then make the right read, and then make the throw, which is a good thing to see for us, for a rookie quarterback to be able to do that. So I thought he handled that situation well.
Can you talk a little bit about how George has brought Tom along? Obviously, very first rookie minicamp practice. It's George's first shot at the NFL level. His, you know, Savage's is there. You know, just talk a little bit about
George Gotsy.
Yeah, what George, you know, and why you've always had kept an eye on him.
Yeah, George is an excellent football coach. He's a very, very bright guy. He's a quick-minded guy. He's a competitive guy, and he loves to coach quarterbacks. So he's with these guys all the time. And, you know, I meet with him sometimes, but he meets with them most of the time. And he does a really good job of understanding that each one of those guys is at a different stage in their career. One guy's a rookie, one guy's in his second year, one guy's in his 10th year. So he's able to reach all three of them in different ways, and I think they've enjoyed being coached by him. And they like our system. You know, so George and I really love our offensive system, so we enjoy coaching that and teaching that. And George has done a really good job with all those guys.
And you've obviously, the first time you worked with him, you thought he had a lot of potential, or he wouldn't be it, right?
Yeah, well, I coached him. When I coached him, he was a really bright guy. He was the type of guy that you could signal in a play to him, and halfway through the signal, he already knew the play. He knew the rest of the play because he had memorized the game plan. He knew what was – so he could turn into the huddle and call the play. He was just a really bright guy, And then when he was done, he played in the Arena League for, I think, a couple seasons. He played in the Arena D League or B League or some other Arena League. And he called me one time and he said, you know, what do you think? I said, well, I think you need to run from the Arena League and decide what you want to do. And he wanted to coach. And eventually he got hooked up with George O'Leary at Central Florida, who, you know, he had played for. Obviously, I had worked for at Georgia Tech. And then I was able to recommend him to Bill Belichick in New England in 2011, you know, going into that season. He came up and was a quality control guy for us there, did a really good job the year we went to the Super Bowl. And I tried to get him to Penn State, but we couldn't get him to Penn State. But that's a story for another time. And then, you know, was able to get him here to Houston.
Going all the way back to Georgia Tech, though, he was one of those kids that just said – this guy's going to probably be a coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could tell the way he played, the way he thought the game, the way he loved the game. You could tell that that he would eventually end up coaching, no doubt about it.
You talked about Savage's poise and that two-minute deal, or that two-point conversion. Can you point to some other things that you liked about last night? You said he closed the gap, some things that he did that caught your attention.
Yeah, I think that he was able to go out there in that drive, you know, even before we got the ball down there to where we completed it to Griffin and the two-point play, and he got us into the right play. You know, there's a lot to this system. You know, it's hard to stand up here and tell you in a 20-minute press conference, but, you know, you have to approach the line of scrimmage. The first thing you have to do is call the play. The play call is not always the easiest thing in the world. Then you have to get to the line of scrimmage, make sure everybody's aligned properly before you shift somebody, if there's a shift involved. Then there's a mic point that we have to make that sets the protection or the running game or something like that. Then there's the snap count. We have about 50 different ways to snap the ball. Then there's the knowledge of what the coverage is or what the front is to determine what play you're going to run. I mean, there's so many different things that go into it. And I think that he, along with Case and Ryan, have really improved on that on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis.
Is he surprising because if he's a young guy, rookie, that he's been able to grasp all that y'all are throwing at him in a timely fashion?
It doesn't surprise me because in the pre-draft process when we met with him, you know, we talked to him a lot. We would say, okay, let's watch the Pitt offense and let's have you describe what you were doing here at Pitt against Virginia Tech. And he could call the play and he could remember the route and he could remember the situation of the game. And then we would test him. Okay, here's something that we do. Maybe we'd leave the room for a little bit, come back and ask him about that play. And he was able to tell us that play again. So, you know, we knew that there was a good chance there that he was going to be able to come in here and learn because he was a bright guy. But again, now let's be real clear here now. He's got a long way to go. Like, we're not headed for Hawaii in the Pro Bowl now. We're talking about battling for the number two job. I would say that Keenum's still two, but Tom, it's a good tight race between two really good guys, competitive guys.
Oh, with Whitney Merciless, no tackles.
Berman will have him headed to Canton, Ohio here in a second. Just because he won a preseason game late against the Broncos.
With Whitney, no tackles in the preseason prior, but six
right.
Last night.
Last night he played better.
Looked like he was flying around. What did he show you last night that he hadn't shown you previously?
I think he was just more active. He was more instinctive. I felt like he went to the ball better. You know, I think that he just let it loose a little bit more last night than he had been doing, and that was good to see. And that's what he needs to do. He should, you know, he's such a good athlete and a great guy, good teammate, that he just needs to let it loose and go play. And I felt like watching the tape, you know, he had some plays he would probably want back, but he had a lot more positive plays than negative plays.
Do you feel like you have to rein DJ in a little bit?
You know, again, I feel...
Love is aggressive.
Yeah, no, I think the way that he plays the game, he's an emotional guy. He's a guy that loves football. That's what I love about him. From the day we arrived here, he was one of the first guys in the building, worked hard in our weight room, worked hard out on the practice field and OTAs, has worked extremely hard to get better in training camp, and he's an emotional guy. And, you know, that's something that I think every team needs, some emotion. But just like all of us, I mean, I could point to myself last night, something I was barking at the referee that I probably shouldn't have been doing. I mean, you know, we all need to understand how to rein in our own emotions during a game, and, you know, we all try to do that. But, you know, again, I think DJ is playing hard. He's playing with good effort, and I'm enjoying having him on this team.
Walter's a short guy. What else could he do? What could he have done in that situation? Or how do you coach him up on those kind of hits to avoid those kind of penalties?
Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough – that particular play was a tough play. And he did go in there with his shoulder. But the way that Welk ended up trying to catch that ball, he went down, and the angle changed at the last second so that DJ kind of – the shoulder and the via the neck hit Welker at the same time in the head. DJ was not trying to do any harm. He was trying to make the play and make the tackle, and I think that the call was correct, but it changed at the last second on him, and it was a tough play for him. So, you know, what you have to do is you have to continually show these guys on tape what a proper tackle is. And these guys know what a proper tackle is. It's not leading with the head. It's hitting with your shoulder and hitting between basically the shoulders and the waist. And not above the neck area. And so we just continually show that to him. But I think last night's play was a tough one to really say, hey, you know, boy, you were at fault there. You know, I think it was a good call. We'll move on from there, and DJ, you know, he'll continue to tackle the proper way.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep, thanks, guys.